Eternity know of this application of the candle? She happens to be able to tell how she came by this information. While riding in a boat on the Rhine, another boat passes containing students who are singing, or rather yelling with great delight, "When the Queen of Sweden with closed shutters and the candles of Apollo..." She does not hear or understand the last word. Her husband is asked to give her the required explanation. These verses are then replaced in the dream content by the harmless recollection of a command which she once executed clumsily at a girls' boarding school, this occurring by means of the common features closed shutters. The connection between the theme of onanism and that of impotence is clear enough. Apollo, in the latent dream content, connects this dream with an earlier one in which the Virgin Pallas figured. All this is obviously not harmless. 4. Lest it may seem too easy a matter to draw conclusions from dreams concerning the dreamer's real circumstances, I had another dream coming from the same person which likewise appears harmless. "I dreamt of doing something," she relates, "which I actually did during the day, that is to say, I filled a little trunk so full of books that I had difficulty in closing it. My dream was just like the actual occurrence." Here the person relating the dream herself attaches chief importance to the correspondence between the dream and reality. All such criticisms upon the dream and remarks about it, although they have secured a place in waking thought, regularly belong to the latent dream content, as later examples will further demonstrate. We are told then that what the dream relates has actually taken place during the day. It would take us too far afield to tell how we reach the idea of using the English language to help us in the interpretation of this dream. Suffice it to say that it is again a question of a little box, cf. The dream of the dead child in the box, which has been filled so full that nothing more can go into it. Nothing in the least sinister this time. In all these harmless dreams, the sexual factor as a motive for the exercise of the censor receives striking prominence. But this is a matter of primary importance which we must postpone. B. Infantile experiences as the source of dreams. As the third of the peculiarities of the dream content, we have cited from all the authors except Robert the fact that impressions from the earliest times of our lives, which seem not to be at the disposal of the waking memory, may appear in the dream. It is, of course, difficult to judge how often or how seldom this occurs, because the respective elements of the dream are not recognized according to their origin after waking. The proof that we are dealing with childhood impressions must thus be reached objectively, and the conditions necessary for this happen to coincide only in rare instances. The story is told by A. Morey as being particularly conclusive of a man who decided to visit his birthplace after 20 years' absence. During the night before his departure, he dreams that he is in an altogether strange district, and that he there meets a strange man with whom he has a conversation. Having afterward returned to his home, he was able to convince himself that this strange district really existed in the neighbourhood of his hometown, and the strange man in the dream turned out to be a friend of his dead father who lived there. Doubtless a conclusive proof that he had seen both the man and the district in his childhood. The dream, moreover, is to be interpreted as a dream of impatience, like that of the girl who carries her ticket for the concert of the evening in her pocket, of the child whose father had promised him an excursion to the Hamo, and the like. The motives explaining why just this impression of childhood is reproduced for the dreamer cannot, of course, be discovered without an analysis. One of the attendants at my lectures, who boasted that his dreams were very rarely subject to disfigurement, told me that he had some time before in a dream seen his former tutor in bed with his nurse, who had been in the household until he was 11 years old. The location of this scene does not occur to him in the dream. As he was much interested, he told the dream to his elder brother, who laughingly confirmed its reality. The brother said he remembered the affair very well, for he was at the time 6 years old. The lovers were in the habit of making him, the elder boy, drunk with beer whenever circumstances were favourable for nocturnal relations. The smaller child, at that time 3 years old, our dreamer, who slept in the same room as the nurse, was not considered an obstacle. In still another case, it may be definitely ascertained, without the aid of dream interpretation, that the dream contains elements from childhood, that is, if it be a so-called perennial dream, which, being first dreamt in childhood, later appears again and again after adult life has been reached. I may add a few examples of this sort to those already familiar, although I have never made the acquaintance of such a perennial dream in my own case. A physician in the 30s tells me that a yellow lion, about which he can give the most detailed information, has often appeared in his dream life from the earliest period of his childhood to the present day. This lion, known to him from his dreams, was one day discovered in natura as a long-forgotten object made of porcelain, and on that occasion the young man learned from his mother that this object had been his favourite toy in early childhood, a fact which he himself could no longer remember. If we now turn from the manifest dream content to the dream thoughts which are revealed only upon analysis, the cooperation of childhood experiences may be found to exist even in dreams whose content would not have led us to suspect anything of the sort. I owe a particularly delightful and instructive example of such a dream to my honoured colleague of the Yellow Lion. After reading Nansen's account of his polar expedition, he dreamt that he was giving the bold explorer electrical treatment in an ice field for an ischemia of which the latter complained. In the analysis of this dream, he remembered a story of his childhood, without which the dream remains entirely unintelligible. When he was a child, 3 or 4 years old, he was listening attentively to a conversation of older people about trips of exploration, and presently asked Papa whether exploration was a severe illness. He had apparently confused trips with rips, and the ridicule of his brothers and sisters prevented his ever forgetting the humiliating experience. The case is quite similar when, in the analysis of the dream of the monograph of the genus Cyclamen, I happen upon the recollection, retained from childhood, that my father allowed me to destroy a book embellished with coloured plates when I was a little boy of 5 years old. It will perhaps be doubted whether this recollection actually took part in the composition of the dream content, and it will be intimated that the process of analysis has subsequently established the connection. But the abundance and intricacy of the ties of association vouch for the truth of my explanation. Cyclamen, favourite flower, favourite dish, artichoke. To pick to pieces, like an artichoke, leaf by leaf, a phrase which at that time rang in our ears apropos of the dividing up of the Chinese Empire. Herbarium, bookworm, whose favourite dish is books.